You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. A lot of people have food aversions, foods that for one reason or another you just hate. You can't eat them. So coming up, we'll talk about how to make those foods more tolerable to eat, if we actually want to try to do that. First, Judith Sears Poisson is in the studio with me for the last day of the spring membership drive here on the Ideas Network. Listener support, that's you, is the largest piece of our funding here. Your gift now in whatever amount you want to give, $10, $20 a month, $100 a month. It makes a difference. It turns into the programs you enjoy every day. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a new hour and new goal. This hour, we have a goal of 30 gifts. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our first pledge already came in. Thank you so much. Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come ultimately from listeners like you. So thank you for that. And voluntary listener support is the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to, programs like Central Time. You can do it right now on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign that it's probably time to donate. When you spend that much time with Wisconsin Public Radio, it means it's important to you.
And you're important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news, conversation, and great music. Your gift of maybe $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, really does make a difference. So make that gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes you want to listen to WPR, but problem, you're not near an actual radio.
Is it a problem, Rob?
It is not a problem because you can listen online from anywhere in the world.
At WPR.org, you can check out information about your favorite shows or guests you've heard, maybe a book that they were talking about that you want to pick up, and you can listen to audio archives of past programs. And if you hear something live that you want to share with a friend, you can grab that link at WPR.org, too. Your gift helps support all of these services.
And if you don't want to drag your desktop computer around with you and plug it in wherever you have to be, oh, don't worry, because we also have the WPR app. You can put it on your phone or tablet or other device.
Desktop?
No.
Wow.
No, it's handy. I'm going to finally stop doing that. I mean, the monitor alone is just a real hassle. No, we've got that app. We've got WPR.org. And we have those because you help pay for them. Contributions in the past allowed us to develop that technology. So give now at WPR.org. Make your donation or call 888-202-2552.
And giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name. You should know that off the top of your head. Contact information.
It depends. Hopefully, you know, sometimes, yeah, sometimes no.
The amount that you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay for it.
It really takes just a few minutes to do that, to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes then fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 28 more people to join in during this hour. You could be one of them. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of the membership drive and your last chance to enter in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win.
That's an awesome gift.
It is fantastic. When you give, when you donate, you're automatically entered into that drawing. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. Maybe you're saying, wait, sustainers, how do I become one? Well, it's really easy. You just go to WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552, and you can set up those ongoing monthly donations from either a bank account or a credit card. And that gift will provide reliable funding for the programs you love.
Give now. Support great radio here in Wisconsin. Support your daily listening and the conversations you enjoy. Give on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And remember, with a gift of $10 a month or $120, you can pick up the 2019 WPR t-shirt. It's made in the U.S. It is printed here in Wisconsin, and it's a great heather maroon color with a salmon design. Get yours now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thanks.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Is there a particular food that you refuse to eat? If so, you might have what's known as a food aversion. A lot of people have them. According to Reddit users, some of the foods people love to hate include Miracle Whip, pickles, cilantro, black licorice, pineapple pizza, anchovies, mustard, candy corn, and Vienna sausages. Our next guest says she has a problem with cucumbers. A food aversion may not seem like a big deal, but what if it's something that other people love or that shows up at a lot of places? And what if you're in that social situation and you don't want to come off as a picky eater? Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She wrote a piece recently about how to eat our least favorite foods. Amanda, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, you start off your piece with your cucumber story. Can you share your feelings about cucumbers with us?
Yes, I hate them. I hate them so much. I always have. And it's not just that I dislike them, but that I can taste them above everything else in a food if they're present. And they hide in so many things, in sushi, in salads, in all kinds of prepared foods. They're everywhere, and they haunt me.
And for you, it's cucumbers, but a lot of people have a food aversion to maybe it's cucumbers, maybe it's something completely different, right?
Yes. Most people have at least one real strong aversion to a type of food. For a lot of people, it's bitter things, which is why you get a lot of people who don't like green vegetables, broccoli, things like that. So for some people, it's something they've had a negative experience with. It all depends.
Now, in your piece, you looked into some of the science of food aversion and how to get over it. We'll dig into some of that science, but do you really want to get over this aversion? Do you think it's something that you'd want to do? You want to overcome this and be able to eat a cucumber?
Well, to a certain extent, yes, because it does, like I said, pop up in so many things I like. I really like sushi, and it's so often put in sushi rolls. I like salads, and so many prepared salads have it. So I would like to be able to encounter it and make peace with it in those situations. I don't want to, eat it, seek it out as a snack, though.
Now, digging into the science here, you talked with some experts about food aversion and why it happens. What do we know about why some of us latch on to a particular food and we just can't get into it?
Well, some of it is a genetic variation. Some people are just born more sensitive to certain chemicals and certain foods. And sometimes those sensitivities can turn into an aversion because people taste certain things stronger in some foods. That's not always an aversion, but it can help get someone on the way there. There's also a really common way that people develop aversions to things that they previously ate, which is that they can have a negative, a nauseous experience after eating that type of food. And then your brain, there's actually a neural pathway that's created when you eat something that you don't eat a lot. And then even if for completely separate reasons, you throw up. Or nauseous, your brain creates a connection between that novel food and the physical reaction, and you will have sort of a real physical aversion to trying to eat that food again in the future. A lot of people have one of those from childhood or college.
I've had that in the short run where I've gotten sick after eating food, even though it wasn't that food's fault. I've been off of it for a while, but I've come back. But you write that this can be a big problem for people going through cancer treatment and obviously experiencing often a lot of nausea as they go through that.
Yes. Doctors administering chemotherapy to patients often advises them before they know they're going to have a treatment that bothers them to eat something novel that they don't normally eat in everyday life. That sort of coaxes a person's brain into assigning that negative physical reaction to this sort of random food that a person doesn't usually eat. Because chemotherapy is usually a repeated treatment. So if you go ahead eating your normal diet before before having chemotherapy, then over time your brain can reassign those negative physical reactions to your favorite foods. So not only did you have, you know, a terrible illness and a really rough treatment, but then you come out of it and you suddenly dislike the things that gave you joy. So they try to get people to scapegoat those physical symptoms onto weird foods that they don't really normally eat.
We're talking about why we have food aversions and maybe how we can overcome them with Amanda Mull. She writes for The Atlantic and put together a piece on her dislike for cucumbers and the science behind food aversions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have this food that you just hate, grosses you out, don't want anything to do with it? Do you know why that happened, or it just happened that way? And have you tried to overcome a food aversion for some reason? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about our aversions to certain foods with Amanda Mull, staff writer for The Atlantic. She wrote a piece not too long ago on food aversion, her personal food she avoids, the humble cucumber. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a food that grosses you out that you avoid whenever possible? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Cindy is with us in the Fox Cities. Cindy, hello.
Hello. Well, I have two things. First of all, Amanda, I can tell you how to get over your aversion to cucumbers, and then I'll tell you what my food icky thing is. Cucumber salad. If you can find a really good cream cucumber salad in the summer, I think you'll learn to love cucumbers.
Okay, we'll throw that at her in just a sec. But what's your food that you avoid, Cindy?
My food, I love tomatoes. I love any kind of tomato sauce, but I cannot drink tomato juice. Ugh.
I'm kind of there with you, Cindy. I was thinking I don't really have an aversion. Tomato juice is probably about as close as I get. Thanks a lot for that, Cindy. So she's saying a cucumber salad. Amanda, I'm guessing that it's not going to be quite that easy for you. What do you think?
Well, what I learned from talking to some experts is that the first step is often just sort of making peace with the idea of cucumbers, which can mean just taking a little bit of a milder cucumber. But then there's some truth to the idea of maybe finding the right preparation of cucumbers is a good way in for me, and finding them in a food that sort of contextualizes them with ingredients or flavors that I really, really like. And then trying to experience that purposefully instead of being surprised by one in a place that I wasn't expecting it. So that part of that, like, sort of gentle exposure is a big part of getting over aversion. And most people can get over theirs.
And Amanda, you're right. Thanks for that call. Amanda, you write that we can, as grown-ups, maybe get over food aversions in the same way that the good ways to introduce kids to foods that they may not jump on right away.
Right. I spoke with Ellen Satter, who is a dietitian and therapist in Wisconsin, actually, and she told me that she primarily works with parents of kids who are picky eaters, and that often, a lot of times for them and also for adults, just sort of having the offending food around, having it on a plate, can help people get through it. And then kids sort of instinctually take food that they're unfamiliar with and put it in their mouth to, like, experience it and then take it back out again. And that's something that we sort of lose trying to do as adults. But a lot of times the negative physical reactions come when you try to force yourself to swallow something you don't enjoy. So for somebody to get over a really profound aversion, putting something in their mouth and then taking it back out like a kid would do can be really helpful to get people to a point where they might want to chew and swallow.
Let's go back to our callers. Natalie is with us in Monroe. Natalie, hello.
Hi. I'm calling because my grandson, who's now 10, would be considered a picky eater, but he has an aversion to meat since the time he's been able to eat solids as a baby, would not eat meat. And anything that has, anytime he sees it even, he is almost... he has a reaction. He can't even look at it. We've tried putting it on his plate, even just near him, and he just cannot deal with anything that has meat in it.
Interesting. Natalie, thanks a lot for sharing that. So 10 years old, aversion to meat since an early age. Amanda, is that something that it's more common than we might think, I imagine?
Right. I think that, you know, meat has a very particular texture. It has particular scents, and not everybody is going to be interested in those things. One thing that I found when talking to some experts for my story is that the best thing that we can do, especially for kids, is sort of to take the pressure off of them to try to force themselves to eat or to acclimate to foods that they really, really don't like. Putting that negative emotional pressure on a kid creates like a really negative association with that food, and it can make it actually harder for kids to acclimate to more types of food. So it seems like and meat is a big food category, but there's a lot of meat alternative proteins out there to try, chickpeas, stuff like that. So it seems like just giving a kid who has a profound aversion like that some variety is probably the best way forward.
Natalie, thanks a lot for the call. Kippy joins us now in Presque Isle. Kippy, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I just have an aversion to root beer, the drink, as does my sister, and my mom didn't like it either. I can't even stand the smell of it.
Wow.
And I always wondered if there was like a genetic component to that.
Interesting. Well, Amanda, I know we don't have a gene scan of Kippy and her family, but is it possible, like with, you mentioned broccoli and things like that, hypothetically, I guess there could be some genetic component to why they all hate their root beer?
Right. There certainly could be. And I don't like root beer either, for the record. but there certainly could be. And how people experience certain flavors can be tied to genetic things that can be passed down through families. But also one thing that I learned in talking to experts for this story is that the kids learn a lot from how their parents experience food and watching their parents eat and how they react to different foods and drinks. And so as a kid watching your mom mirror disgust at root beer might have implanted in you very early the idea that it was gross and not something to be consumed. So I think, as with a lot of things in life, it's a little bit of nature and probably a little bit of nurture too.
Thanks a lot for the call. So, Amanda, as we wrap up, you got the cucumbers. Where are you right now? Are you going to try to overcome this aversion, or have you given up on that?
Well, there's a breakfast restaurant near my apartment that has a cucumber salad on it that I have seen other people order and that looks really, really good. So I'm sort of working my way up to ordering that and trying that. That's where I'm at right now. I've got like a goal.
Maybe split that with somebody, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Can take a bite and then somebody can eat the rest so it doesn't go to waste. You know, but that's, I've got a goal in mind.
Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic. We talked with her about a recent piece on overcoming food aversions titled How to Eat Your Least Favorite Food. You can keep the conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know which foods disgust you and why. And we'd love to hear if you've had any success in overcoming that aversion. Coming up after the news, Governor Evers wants to study the idea of creating a state agency to refinance student loan debt. We'll talk to a state capitol reporter about the plan and its prospects for passage in the legislature. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson is here in the studio with me. Your gift on this last day of the drive of any amount makes a big difference.
It does, because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That means that your support funds Central Time, as well as all the other WPR shows you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's have a big finish to this drive. I think Central Time is the last show we're asking for your donation on. We're the cleanup hitter. Let's end on a strong note. Make your gift. We're looking for 24 pledges by the end of the hour. We can do that. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and that you rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. That means that your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for the programs you rely on, and it really does make a difference.
In that last conversation, we took a look at a pretty common experience. I think a lot of people have that one food they have an aversion to. Do you have one of those?
I don't. I'm kind of weird that way.
You just want anything. Yeah. And there are foods I don't like that much, but nothing. The tomato juice, I mean, it kind of kills Bloody Marys for me. Yeah,
that's sad.
But I can live. But it's not a real challenge
right.
in my life.
It's not like a cucumber when she was listing all the things that cucumbers.
Yeah, that
like,
comes
wow,
up a lot.
Yeah, that's,
yeah. Including in a Bloody Mary if you
there
want
you
it.
Go.
But it's an example of the kind of conversation, you know, we take this thing that might be an experience that maybe you hadn't thought that much about before, maybe you hadn't dug into, and we find somebody who's done the legwork, figured out what the heck is going on with that? You hear that kind of conversation all the time here on Central Time.
It's conversations that maybe make you chuckle, and they probably make you think, too. And because WPR is listener-supported, your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those conversations that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, and then make your gift.
You listen to the Ideas Network year-round. Now donate the same way you listen. And by becoming a sustaining member. Make the decision once, and then you'll make ongoing contribution of $5 or $10 or $20 a month for as long as you want it to go.
Your sustaining membership will always be current, and it cuts down on paperwork. So don't delay, especially since this is the last day of the pledge drive. Become a sustainer right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Ann in Milwaukee. Ann says, I just discovered Central Time and love it. Thank you for being here. I want to give the dramatic pause.
That
what if Anne had developed an aversion to Central Time or to me?
Because
I get that
she was
a lot,
eating a
actually.
Cucumber at the time.
No, but seriously, Anne, I'm glad you found us. I'm glad you're listening to the show, and I'm glad you realized that you could be a part of making it happen by making that gift that you just made. Thank you so much. Now, how about you? If you're a regular listener to Central Time and all the great shows here on the Ideas Network, you can be a part of keeping it on the air with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 23 more of you support WPR programs in the next half hour or so, we will meet our goal for this hour. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift is powerful right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's your last chance to give during this drive, your last chance to get entered into a drawing for one of five $500 grocery store gift cards. You are automatically entered when you give. The big reason to pledge, you appreciate these conversations. So give right now.
And when you enter and maybe win one of those gift cards, you can only buy foods that you love. You don't have to buy ones that you have an aversion to.
Buy all those cucumbers that you hate, and then you'll learn to love them. Now, buy whatever you want if you win that thing, but give now. That's the important thing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Governor Evers wants the state to look into the idea of creating an agency that could refinance student loan debt for Wisconsinites. We'll get the latest on that idea coming up. First, it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, your chance to support the Ideas Network and all your favorite programs. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears Poisson. Your gift of any amount really does make a difference.
And that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That means that your support funds Central Time, as well as all the other WPR shows you count on. So give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a half hour left, and we're looking for 19 more pledges by the end of the hour. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
When you listen to the talk shows on the Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation. You hear from experts, from people involved in the stories you hear, from people trying to make their community a better place, and people doing interesting and cool stuff all around the state.
You go out into the world a more well-rounded person, a more informed person every day, full of things to think and talk about. Because you value being well-informed, support the conversations that keep you connected by making your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As a donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on, say, going out to dinner or doing things with friends. Those are things you enjoy and that make your life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you, and then you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The WPR t-shirt has become an annual tradition. Each one is unique and is only available for a limited time. Don't miss the 2019 t-shirt offered this drive. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
It's got a cityscape on it. It's got a rural landscape with a WPR tower in the back. And of course, it's got some of our north woods with a cabin. And it symbolizes the fact that WPR is everywhere in Wisconsin.
It kind of looks Art Deco style to me.
I feel like this is Wisconsin in one design.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pick up your t-shirt and support the programs you count on. At Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Your support today of WPR keeps all these programs going strong. Give now on this last day of the drive. Your gift of any amount really does make a difference.
Like Rob said, this is the last day of our spring membership drive. It ends at 7 o'clock tonight. Your financial support during this hour is so important to help the drive end successfully.
Your gift is a big part of what makes this program and all the programs you rely on and you enjoy possible on the Ideas Network. Take action right now. Make your own gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's an idea. After you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family.
That's right. Let them know the clock is ticking. It's their last few moments to make their pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can, you know, get in touch with them on various forms of social media, email, text, call, stop over, tell them, yell through the window, whatever. Let them know it's the last day of the drive and they can join you in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift and then tell them how to make it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 18 more people to join in by the end of the hour? You make WPR possible when you give. So do it right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And it's your last chance to get in on this drawing we have going during this drive. It's the last day to get into this drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. There'll be five winners. You'll have five chances to win. Give now, get automatically entered at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, by the way, if you're already making monthly gifts, good news, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, what better time to become one than right now? It's so easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can set it up now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll provide reliable, ongoing support for the programs you love.
You appreciate the conversations we bring you each day on Central Time and all across the Ideas Network, plus the weekend entertainment. We really do count on you to help pay for it. Listener support really is the single biggest piece of our funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your very important gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Think of the last time you learned something new on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm betting you don't have to go back very far to find that. Think of the times that you shared things you've learned with other people. Make your gift right now to make sure that information continues. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The amount of student loan debt in the U.S. topped $1.5 trillion at the end of last year. That's according to the Federal Reserve. And in his first budget, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has proposed one way to address it for students here in the state. The proposal would study the possibility of a state-run agency that would refinance student loans. You can join in with your thoughts on that idea, your reactions to it, questions that you think it could raise. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jesse Opoyan covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. Jesse, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in the basics, this is in the governor's budget, right? What would this proposal do?
So this proposal would create a study, it would authorize a study on how to create a student loan refinancing authority. This is something that Democrats in the legislature have been pushing for years and years, over and over again. And rather than just creating it right away, Governor Evers is proposing having some of the heads of the Department of Financial Institutions, the Higher Education AIDS Board, and the state treasurer take a look at how best to implement an authority where the state would run this and be responsible for buying student loans, both private and federal, and looking at refinancing them at lower rates. And so this requires a report by October of 2021, and if they have the information they need, then it would go into the next budget.
And there is a price tag on this study effort, right? What would this cost the state at this point?
Yeah, it would cost the state $50,000 to do the study to get the information that it needs.
Is this something that's happening in other states around the country, this publicly run authority that works on refinancing?
Yeah, there are about a dozen other states that have authorities like this that offer refinancing. One of the differences between those states and Wisconsin is that they already had a state authority that dealt with student loans, and so they were able to just take that authority and give it the power to refinance. So in Wisconsin, it wouldn't just be adding that additional responsibility. It would be creating an entirely new authority. Before, Democrats have talked about modeling it sort of off of the WEDA, the Housing and Economic Development Authority. So there's a model that they've looked at that, you know, that already exists in state government, but this actual authority doesn't exist yet.
And you mentioned, Jesse, that Democrats have been talking about this for a while. I know the group, the Institute for One Wisconsin, has been advocating for this, a pro-Democratic group for the most part. What is the case that they're making for why Wisconsin should join those other states and offer this kind of refinancing agency for student loan debt?
So the case that they're making is, you know, student loan debt is obviously a problem throughout the country. It exceeds $1.5 trillion nationally and it's at $24 billion in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the sixth highest percentage of graduates, college graduates, with student loan debt at 64%. They owe an average of $29,000. And the argument is that debt is keeping people from participating in the economy in ways that would benefit not only them, but, you know, the rest of the state economy, keeping people from purchasing houses, buying cars, generally doing the things that you do as you become part of the middle class.
And as things stand, and this gets a little arcane financially, but student loan debt is a little different than a lot of like mortgage debt and other kind of debts people like might have. It's harder to refinance student loan debt, maybe even almost impossible in many cases. Is that what proponents of this idea are saying?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are some opportunities to do it, but they're not widespread. And the thing about student loans is it just really depends on when you're taking out those loans as to what your interest rates are going to be. So, you know, someone 1 year might be getting a loan at an interest rate of 3 or 4%, and someone the next year might be getting one at 6 or 8%. So there's this huge variation just depending on the timing of what you are able to pay on that. And in contrast, you know, the comparison is often made that you should be able to refinance this like you can a mortgage or, you know, a car loan. And so that's, you know, I think that that's a principle probably that both parties agree on, but Republicans have tended to take the tack that refinancing should be left to the private sector rather than being taken under by a government entity.
Talking to Jesse Opoyan from the Capital Times, looking at a proposal in Governor Evers' budget that would study the idea, wouldn't put it into practice, but would study the idea of a state agency, in effect, that would provide refinancing for student loans. Jesse, can you talk more about what Republicans have said about this issue, both in terms of past Democratic efforts here and what's in Governor Evers' budget?
Sure. I mean, this is one of, I would say, a few bills that Democrats have introduced that didn't have Republican support that actually got a public hearing at one point in the legislature. So the conversation has been had a few times. And so one of the points is the one that I just made, and that's where Republicans have said, you know, that they do think that people should be able to refinance their loans, but it shouldn't be another government function to do that. Republicans have also talked about the tuition freeze that Governor Walker implemented when he was in office. That was going on for 6 years. And so they talked about just making college more affordable, which is something that Governor Evers is continuing. But he says, and Democrats and those who support this effort say that doesn't do enough for the people who already have student debt, that is, you know, people who are decades out of college. The other thing that Governor Walker did do is, when he was in office, the UW Credit Union expanded its membership eligibility. So the UW Credit Union does offer the refinancing service, but it used to be that you could only become a member if you had attended a University of Wisconsin institution. So the UW Credit Union expanded its membership to allow any college graduate living in Wisconsin to participate and to get those services.
Now, this plan, as you said, it studies the idea. A study report would be due in about 2 years. Not exactly on the fast track here. Are people who have been supporting this idea jumping for joy, given that that's kind of down the road a piece?
You know, I'm sure people who have been fighting for this for a while would love to see it put in place sooner. But I think, you know, anytime you're talking about creating a new governmental authority, there's a lot of things to consider in terms of just how to get it off the ground. And you don't want to do something necessarily quickly without getting it right. So I haven't heard a lot of complaints for the most part. It sounds like people who have been advocating for this are just happy that it's being put into consideration and talked about as part of the budget.
Now, this is, as you say, part of the budget. It is a big document. There's a lot going on here. And there's some question of whether Republicans are even going to use Governor Evers' budget as a starting point. Can you bring us up to date on what's going on big picture with the state budget proposal?
Yeah, big picture, we're still hearing a lot of objection from Republicans who control the legislature. There are some absolute non-starters in Governor Evers' budget for them, and they're talking about throwing the whole thing out. And I think comments were made even today that indicated that they would do that.
Have we seen this issue of student loan debt dealt with in the state budget before, or is this something that usually comes up in standalone legislation from Democrats?
You know, Democrats have introduced this as standalone legislation. It's definitely come up in conversations in the Joint Finance Committee as they deliberate the budget. But, you know, in terms of efforts to address this in the budget, the closest comparison would be Governor Walker, including the tuition freeze in his last few budgets.
Again, this is just one small part of the budget. Probably it won't even be the biggest sticking point. What do you see as some of the biggest points of disagreement between the governor and Republicans in the legislature on this budget plan?
I think, you know, for a basic level, just the amount of spending involved. Republicans are reluctant to authorize any sort of tax increases, and they're reluctant to authorize any sort of spending increases, so that continues to be a sticking point that underlies most issues. You know, one of the big fights and something that we were talking a lot today with different actors weighing in on it is the Medicaid expansion. Tony Evers wants to accept federal funds to expand Medicaid, and Republicans, for the most part, have said that's a no-go, although it sounds like maybe a few might be opening up to the idea a little bit to having that discussion. But, you know, that decriminalizing marijuana use for small amounts, like there are some of these things that just you know that they're not going to get the support, and Republicans have pretty much just said this is absolutely not going to happen. So, you know, they agree on a lot of priorities in terms of, you know, fixing roads, funding schools, funding healthcare, but in each of those areas there are things that I think are absolute non-starters for Republicans.
And Jesse, before I let you go, I'll throw in a completely different topic. This news that the Democratic National Committee has said, hey, we're going to hold our big 2020 convention in Milwaukee. What kind of reactions have you been seeing from state leaders?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of excitement. I think both Democrats and Republicans alike recognize the economic impact of something like this. You're bringing tens of thousands of people into the state and showcasing the state's largest city. Republicans made some cracks about the early ties to socialism in Milwaukee's history and how that's, I guess, reflective of some newer leaders in the Democratic Party. Democrats are just excited that after the way the 2016 election turned out, with Hillary Clinton not visiting the state during the general election campaign, with Donald Trump winning Wisconsin, giving it to a Republican for the first time in decades, they're excited that Wisconsin is on the map and being recognized as a battleground state.
And the big debate I've been seeing online, Jesse, is, okay, a lot of people are reacting, okay, everybody's going to come and try the cheese curds and the custard and the beer. And I've seen a backlash saying, hey, we got more than that. We got a lot of other fun foods here. Where do you stand on Cheesegate?
Look, you know, I understand that people don't want to be reduced to a stereotype, but I think that we in Wisconsin should play up our strengths, and we are really good at cheese and beer and brats, so why not play it up?
Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jesse Opoyan, state government and politics reporter for the Capital Times. She was with us to talk about a proposal in Governor Evers' budget that would study a state agency to refinance student loan debt. And we took a wider look at the latest on the budget, too. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson is in the studio with me to ask for your support on this last day of our Spring Membership Drive. Your chance to support Central Time and all your other favorite shows.
And that's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it, and that's awesome. You've been meaning to give, so do it now on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last day of the drive. I would love to hit our goal one more time before this is over. We're looking for 15 more pledges in the next, 6 minutes left in the hour. You can keep pledging through the news to help us hit that goal. Make your gift right now. It really does make a difference. It supports the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. If you are deadline driven, this is the deadline. It's
it
the
really
last day
is.
Of the drive. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just talked about this idea of a state agency to refinance student loan debt here in the state. A big issue one way or another for a lot of people around Wisconsin. These are the kinds of timely conversations about issues that affect you and your friends and family that you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Today, we've talked about Foxconn and what type of factory might end up in southeastern Wisconsin. We've talked about food aversions, how to get over them if you want to, or maybe not. We've also talked about national data on Black homeownership and what that looks like in Milwaukee. And we just heard some details on Governor Evers' budget and specifically that proposal about student loan refinancing. Those are all conversations that you make possible when you make your gift. Choose an amount that works for you and then make that gift.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And on this last day of the membership drive, we still have this exciting drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see the rules at WPR.org, or you can automatically enter when you make a donation of any amount right now. You can do that at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
We've seen a recent increase in our childcare costs as my daughter is currently going to a preschool.
Yes, my newspaper subscription just went up.
If you've looked at my electric bill lately, it has gone up substantially.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
You can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all the Ideas Network programs you count on, and that's why your support is so important on this last day of the spring membership drive. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
You are already part of WPR's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or maybe just a few months, you can become part of our community of members. Those are people who support the programs they value.
If you've never given before, how about starting with a gift of $120 or make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month? Your contribution of any amount makes you a member, And because, again, the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you really will make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated a few years ago but haven't since. Well, we appreciate that support, and it's your continued support that keeps us going.
If it's been a while since you donated, it's a perfect time to do that now on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We really will be glad to have you back.
Just a couple more minutes to get 10 more people to support WPR programs, and we'll meet our goal for the hour. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now on the last day of the spring membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Give on this last day of the drive. Get entered into our drawing for one of five $500 grocery store gift cards. It's an added bonus, an added reason to pledge. The big reason is because you count on these conversations. Make your gift WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, your last chance to support great conversations here on the Ideas Network. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears Poisson. Make that gift. Help us hit this goal on the last day of the drive.
It is so important to hear from you now. The drive is ending today at 7 p.m. Show your support for Central Time, for all of the programs on the Ideas Network, all of the programming you count on Wisconsin Public Radio. For a gift of $10 a month or $120, you can pick up that great 2019 WPR t-shirt, USA made, printed right here in Wisconsin, and a great way to show your support for WPR. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join the Central Time team. Be a part of the radio that you listen to. Make your gift right now. You pick the amount and then give. Last day of the drive, last chance to give. Do it right now. You'll be glad you did. Go online at WPR.org. Takes just a few minutes there. Or a quick call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.